I'm working with a lot of Baptists now, you know, and they're pretty heavy Bible people.
Yeah.
And the sad thing about it is they don't believe that Jesus was God 100% or something like that. And I don't know what to make of it. I find it, I think they're great people and the Bible's great, but it's sad to think that they have to worship Jehovah or God in the beyond state.
In the formless state.
Yeah, the formless state.
How will you be able to do that? Why do you keep the pictures of your ancestors at home? There's a fine story. I'll let you know about it. Have you heard of Vivekananda?
Vivekananda?
Yeah.
Heard.
When he returned from his first lecture tour in the States, before I have an intake, I must have
outgo.
Yeah. So I'll finish this off. I don't know whether you all know anything about it, but Vivekananda was a disciple of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, and after Ramakrishna Paramahansa passed away, those who lived with him had no other recourse but not to do, just sit quietly, not knowing what to do and all that. They felt themselves lost. Vivekananda was the right-hand person of Ramakrishna. So he again got that little worm wiggling inside. So, although he was a close one, mind is there. So he was all the time after occult powers, occult experiences. So he went out, he thought now the only thing is that after Ramakrishna has passed away, which Ramakrishna so often dissuaded him from pursuing that path, he says, if you really wish to know God and realize Him, there is no better way than to be devoted to Him. Forget about all these yogas and paths and occultism. Occultism, you shouldn't even think about it or touch it. Beware. But he always had that. He had the great feeling. He was a great man, you see, within himself. He wanted to do something. He wanted to do this and that and all that. So he goes out, and there was one at the time in India, in south of India, in Madras. So naturally, while he is going, he is sad about it. He knows that Ramakrishna has asked him not to do it, but he is pursuing that. And he says, well, what can I do? He is hungry. He is in a train. He does not know whether what he is doing is right or wrong. But he knows one thing, that Ramakrishna didn't want him to do, and he is still pursuing it. And all this, you know, human frailties are there. He is still a human, not Vivekananda. He is still Naren. His name was Naren. So at this railway, he's very hungry, and there is nobody there to support him. He was very poor. He had his mother and brothers, sister, and nothing. He couldn't earn or anything of sort. But still, he wants to pursue so that he can do something. So at Nagpur railway station, when the train had stopped, all of a sudden, it's a junction. Nagpur is a big city. So it has a big station and a longer stop. So there he hears, overhears, says, is Naren from Calcutta here? Somebody is passing on the platform, shouting, is Naren here from Calcutta? Naren? Naren from Calcutta? He says, Naren from Calcutta? I am Naren from Calcutta. So he comes, he pokes his head out of the window, says, yeah, I am there. What do you want? So are you Naren from Calcutta? Yeah. So he was carrying a tray full of food. He says, my master has sent this for you. Who is your master? Well, he has told me not to let you know anything about it. Just have it. If you are Naren from Calcutta, it's for you. That was the first little inkling that Naren, Vivekananda as Naren, got that my master is still looking after me. But in spite of it, he went to Madras. He went there. And he goes and contacts that great yogi. And he doesn't accept disciples like that. So you know he has to have some credentials. So he says that, well, I am an intimate disciple of Ramakrishna Paramahansa. Will you accept me? Oh, Ramakrishna, you come from Ramakrishna. Of course, you come. Come next day after having a bath and all that and be here. Of course, I'm happy. I can take you under my training. So he is very happy that at last he has been accepted. But he uses his name, mind you, the name of the one who has told him not to do that. So he is going now. The next morning he is there. Now he has taken his bath and he goes. He has to go on foot. Naturally, he has no money for all these things. So he goes. And when he goes there, he is wandering for hours together and he cannot find the direction. Time he had been called at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's now 12 noon. It's no use and I can't find it. But when he turns back, he can find his way back to an inn where he was staying, pre-inn. So he goes back and says, never mind, I'll excuse myself the next morning. Next morning I'll attempt and all that. So he goes there, tries to go. 3 times he went, but he could not find 3 days successively. On the 4th day, when he is like this, on his adventure now to find out what is happening. So there he hears his voice, Narain, Narain, how often should I tell you, don't take that path. Don't. Again a testimony that he is after him. So then he got the courage and all that. Then he went to the States. Then he gave that lecture, you know, where he was given a standing ovation. So that's how it is. So when he went to the States, some lady was kind enough to take him in and give him food and just look after him, and then got introduction, you see, for the World Religious Parliament, like that, and so forth. That's another story. But when he returns with laurels, now everybody is after him. Yeah, Vivekananda, Vivekananda, Vivekananda. So likewise, there was one prince. You know, it was in India, although it was the British rule, but there were many Rajas over here, rulers, with their own territories and own armies and own coins and everything was there. Independent rulers were there. So Raja Valwar, this is the story of Raja Valwar, it's in North India. So he wanted him also for a few days at his palace. Yes. Vivekananda is what now? He's a big figure now, world figure. So he goes, but he was of the same idea that God, the formless, is God. The rest is nobody. But when he goes there, of course, Raja receives him with all warm welcome and all that, and immediately calls his aide, his servant, and he orders him in front of Vivekananda. He says, here is my real guest of great honor. I want you to carry out every command that he gives you without any question. And attend to him. Because I depend on you, I am giving you this order to do it. So he said, yes, sir. And Vivekananda laughs and says, what will, I don't have any need. He says, never mind, let him attend to him. So everywhere, wherever he would go, Narain, he would be there and helping him out and all that was there. 3 days and 3 nights, they would sit and talk about it. But this Raja would not accept the fact. Vivekananda was telling that God needs to come in human form to awaken humanity as the avatar. And he says, but how can that be? Why should it be so? He is all powerful, all mighty, and everything is there. What need is there? And so on. So this is the last day now. The 4th day has to leave. So they are seated in the parlor, and there was a life-size portrait of his father, who was the king, ruler of that state prior to him. So he's seated and he's again telling and conversing, and there is that interaction. All of a sudden, he calls out the name of the servant, Vivekananda. So he comes, yes sir, this is the first time he has been ordered by him. He says, I want you to spit on that thing, the fellow is gazing on me like that. Spit upon it. He is embarrassed. How can he do that? He is the father of the His Highness, you see. So he says, sir, he is the ruler, you know, he speaks in his own broken language and all. So he says, didn't you hear the order that your master has given you, that you have to carry out all command that I give you? This is the first command and the last command. Spit on this. So I can't do it. So then the ruler interjects. He says, Vivekananda, do you know he's my father's? It's my father's portrait. Your father's portrait? What does that mean? What has that to do? It's not your father. It's not your father. It's just a strip of canvas and paint. What is that? No, but that reminds me of my father. It's my, all the memories are there of him being with me and looking after me and the whole kingdom he was ruling over. Oh, he says, yeah, I never gave a thought to it. So likewise, he says, remember, the avatar is nothing but a reminder of who he really is. Avatar is the portrait of your Jawa. You follow?
Right.
But why, how do you venerate it? Why do you venerate it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like that. So that's the figure he has given. So remember this.
Yeah.
Not that you have to go in contest or anything.
But sometimes it is
good. It's good. Let them have that. When time comes, they will themselves realize. There's no good. He does his own work.
He does.
Yeah, what have we to do? Yeah, that's fine. What you say is right, of course. Jehovah is the only one. There's nothing, nobody besides him. That's true. But who has brought home this in our mind? Who has made us aware of it? How do you know it? Our Torah says so. Who made the Torah? And so forth and so on. These great ones who came, who brought these abilities?
Yeah.